Hey, how's it going there? This is Joe Walsh bringing you the Get Out and Serve podcast. This is episode 27, sitting here in Tamarindo, Costa Rica. Got my good friend and partner in crime, Nikki Hearn, on the show. Nikki, welcome back.
Here we are, number 27. The boys are back in Tamar. It's time to go.
It is, and we've got a very special guest today coming to you from Tamarindo, Costa Rica. Also, Happy Walsh. Happy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. This is going to be awesome.
It already is. And what's really awesome is the fact that you're my kid, I'm your dad, and what did we just do?
We just surf pan dulce, backwash.
Yep, we did, didn't we? Took a father-son surf trip. The first, not the first surf trip we've taken, but the first surf trip we've taken here in Costa Rica together, and where you and I have been, we're surfing together every single day. Would you say that's correct?
Yes, I would.
And I noticed you've lost a tooth. What happened there?
Well, I was playing basketball, and I threw the ball, and it bounced off the rim and hit my tooth out.
Really? It was a loose tooth already, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So it's going to grow.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, no, I'm just realizing.
What?
Dude, what if the tooth fairy must have left the prize for you down there? Because I think the tooth fairy up here slept in pretty late this morning after driving all day yesterday. What do you think? Was there anything under the pillow?
I actually did not check.
Oh, you didn't check?
You didn't check. So, you don't know.
It could still be there.
Could.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'll be back in a sec.
I gotta text Mrs. Claus real quick.
That's a whole other conversation. That's a whole other conversation. But what we really wanted to do is talk to the barrel kid, Walsh, over here.
Yeah, oh, yeah, hold on.
Happy Walsh, also known as the barrel kid.
Yeah, exactly. So, wait, let's back up. Before the surf trip, you and I were surfing a week and a half ago. Right across, where were we at?
We were at Casitas.
Oh, that's right. Wind was offshore.
Yep, it was looking beautiful.
And then what happened? Tell a story. Tell that one.
Well, I pulled into a late left, but somehow managed to get in the barrel and make it out clean.
Dude, that's exactly, I know, you're still smiling about it. Okay, so I want to, I just want to say how cool it is for me being your dad, being able to share something like surfing with you, and to watch you getting better at it, and being able to get a barrel or go on a pretty major surf trip with dad, and we went for the swell, Nikki. How big was it here in town? Because it was booming down south. Was there?
It was definitely some size and stuff. I don't think it was lighting up here in Tamarindo so well, but definitely, all the other beaches around were
Standouts. Coming,
so I know that
definitely out of the south. So.
Yeah, some of the standout spots, it was too big for that.
Yeah.
Some of those beach breaks were not really handling it. I mean, I imagine, through the other standouts, Playa Negra was good and Grande, but I know Marbella was, it was too much for Marbella on peak swell. Day of the swell, sorry.
Happy, I think, what was that, Wednesday? That was the big day?
Yep.
Had you ever been in waves that big before?
Don't think so.
What was going through your head out there in the lineup? Actually, how big were those waves for you? What would you say?
About double overhead.
You think so?
Yeah.
When you saw dudes dropping on the biggest waves, the waves were definitely double overhead. I would concur. There was definitely some bombs coming in. You caught that set wave, the first wave of the set. And you made it down the line quite a ways. He was out at the main point. Dude's 11 years old. First trip down southern zone with dad. It was pretty sweet, actually. I got to say, I had more fun watching you catch waves than the ones I was getting, because I was like, man, if I had been 11 and exposed to this, And then I started questioning myself on that day, because the waves were actually pretty big. And you caught that first wave and you went down the line a ways. And then you got crushed, you fell or something. And I had the wave after it, and it was a monster. It was a really big wave. And it was outside of everyone. And I made the first big section, maybe a couple hundred yards, maybe. Not so far. And I could see you on the inside, and I knew that wave was coming and just cleaning you up and cleaning up everyone on the inside. And I was so I kicked out and immediately started paddling in. And you held your composure, man.
You shouldn't have.
Nah, dude, you know what? There's going to be more waves. The fact that it was big enough that, you would be concerned for any of your friends that would get caught inside in a wave like that. You got to be comfortable to surf in those conditions. And I know that for me, it took a long time. So I can't even imagine being only 11 and having a chance to surf those kind of waves. And I thought you did really well out there. Not just because I'm your dad, but as a fellow surfer and seeing how you handled it with your young, ripe age of 11, you did pretty well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You deserve it. What was going through your head? That's what I want to know, though, when that big set was coming in. What were you thinking?
That I was going to die. That's technically what I was thinking.
Really?
Honestly, I was scared. I was really, really scared. I'd never been in waves that big, so I don't know. It's scary.
It's what we call the rite of passage, you know? Everyone has a different level of what is scary and what is not scary. You know, I mean, there's obviously professionals that go out there and do some of these insanely large waves, and you know, I'm like, I wouldn't even think of it. But like, as you start going through your surfing life, you'll get to a point, you know, you might be the guy that'll be charging big waves in a few years. You don't know. You have to learn. It's all baby steps.
Yeah, and we talked a lot about just being exposed to bigger waves more often. The more often you're exposed to something like that, the more comfortable it becomes. The more often you're exposed to surfing on above rocks. I mean, you know, if you just surf beach break your whole life and nothing but sand, and then you go somewhere and you're literally, there's boulders in the lineup that you have to either go above or below, get around, or at least be aware of and not get pushed inside and raked upon.
Mm-hmm.
That's something else. Or the fact that underneath your board isn't just sand, it's reef. It can be, I remember for me, I was maybe 17, 18, really starting to surf the reefs in La Jolla and San Diego. And I went through, you know, like the whole uncomfortable feeling and having to get used to it. But the more you do it, the more comfortable it becomes. And then it just becomes kind of natural, I guess. So you thought you were going to die.
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Oh, well, I've been watching you perfect your duck dive, which, I mean, as we both know, is not the easiest thing to do. And some of those waves, like even like the hardest charging surfers out couldn't duck dive. So everybody was ditching their board. You have any advice on what got you through? Like, what do? You just stay calm?
Yes, I stayed calm. I held my breath, just deep breaths, and went under the wave. It helped. It really did.
Right on. Wise words from this 11-year-old Grom. What do you do when you weren't surfing?
I played a lot of basketball. I skated, played soccer.
Yeah, we made a bunch of good meals too, huh?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, see, Dad's like a little bit of the chef. He didn't realize that, huh? Yeah. What was the favorite meal? What was the best food?
Breakfast burger.
The breakfast burger.
Had a breakfast burger?
Oh, I'm telling you, the best thing, right?
Yes.
How do you make a breakfast burger?
Yeah, well, I can see a bit of favoritism going on here because we never got a breakfast burger when I was down there.
Well, it's newly added to the menu was a hamburger patty. What do you tell it? You got a hamburger patty?
Yeah.
Fried egg?
Fried egg, cheese, bread. Steaming, I guess.
Yep, right off the grill. It's pretty good.
Right.
You know, the burger, but on like wheat bread, you know? It's like half sandwich, half burger, and it's half breakfast. Like, you know what? I have more of those in the fridge right now. In fact, if we've got bread and eggs in the kitchen here, we can make them today, right now, when we finish the podcast.
Nice.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And cheese, obviously. We've got the burger patties. It's the hardest part. I will make them. I will make us breakfast burgers as soon as we finish the show. Deal?
Deal.
All right. All right, so Nikki, do we have any more questions for this guy before we let him get back to what were you doing? I think I saw you like simultaneously watching something on TV and playing a video game. Kind of two things at once. Is that the deal these days?
Why else do you have two eyes?
What are the kids up to these days? Is that multitasking? Is that one half of your brain?
Yeah.
I can't do any of that. I can't concentrate on two things at once.
I used to play with a calculator when I was a kid. Then I got a Game Boy that was like,
What do you mean? Did you like long division or something like that to like pass the time away?
Yeah, that's like a poor kid's computer, dude. Just a calculator, right? I mean, those things were special back then, dude. And then like the one kid in the class, Jose Otero, he had the calculator watch.
Ah, the classic Casio.
Yeah, dude. It's like it beeps every time. It's like 2 times 2. You know, I was like, oh man, I'm totally gonna pass my math class now. But no, it beeps every time you push the button. Didn't work. Plus, you got to learn your multiplication tables. Isn't that right, Happy?
Yes, that is correct.
I guess we did a bunch of homeschool, too, down there. People are probably wondering, how do you get to travel and surf, you know?
My homeschool, it's actually pretty great. When I don't really know what to do, I can just sit down and bang some of my workouts. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and we've been doing a bit of traveling, too. Where's the coolest place we've ever gone for you? Like, coolest place you've ever been?
Well, I like New Zealand a lot. The culture is great there.
New Zealand was pretty sweet.
I did like France. That was awesome. It was pretty hot there.
Yeah, it was like in August. It was a heat wave too, I think, when we were there. France is sweet.
Yeah, there we go. They're suffering a heat wave right now. It's like almost like 45 degrees Celsius, which is extremely hot.
Yeah, last summer when we were there in August, it got pretty hot. Yeah, you know, I thought France was sweet. We kind of hung out in Paris a bunch. I'd like to go to like the coast, you know, like maybe that would be a good like September, October thing. You know,
oh, yeah.
Go down to Hossiger.
That place, that time of year, Hossiger is like no joke.
Dude, Philippe has a house there.
Yeah, it's like down that whole area. There are waves all up and down the whole coastline.
Yeah.
And all the way from like southern Portugal all the way up to northern France. There's a whole bunch of coastline to explore.
So I guess, dude, is my wingman going to come with me on this adventure too? Are you going to, if you have to wear a wetsuit and surf in water that isn't like tropical, you know, would you still do it? Or are you just a
if the waves are good, then yes. Yes, I will.
No hesitancy at all. The waves are good, then yes, for sure. Yeah.
Again, wise words.
I know.
So what? Actually, what board are you riding?
It's a thruster.
Uh huh.
It was Ricardo's board, actually.
I surfed Ricardo this morning.
Yeah, he was like, dude, this board will be perfect for Happy. He wants to be surfing with you because you guys are both goofy footers. He wants to show you how to whack that left that peels off right in front of Vaquero. He's out there just slaying it all the time. Can like really, really get a lot of speed and power out of those waves, and he's, you know, not that big of a guy, so he'd be a good person to like spend some time surfing with. He'll probably get you doing those chop hops.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, dude.
That'd be cool.
I know. Alright, well dude, Happy. Thank you very much for being on the show. Sounds like maybe we're gonna be going on another surf adventure in the near future.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, well maybe we'll surf this afternoon. Casitas.
Okay.
You wanna? The wind cleans up after the breakfast burger.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, or you can stay and do math.
I'd rather go surfing.
Okay.
Correct.
See?
That's correct how you answer.
Cool. Well, here, give me your mic.
Okay, then.
We will.
Thank you very much.
Oh, dude, you did
thank
great.
Thank you.
Nux. Go see if we've got some wheat bread. Okay. We have got the ingredients, and then when I finish up, I'll get out there and get to work. Thanks, kiddo.
Thank you.
Love you. You did pretty good. Yeah. It's 1:15 in the afternoon, and all I've eaten is an apple.
That's probably part of it. I'm the same. What? I grabbed a handful of Pringles before I left the house.
Yeah.
And we don't have Pringles, but my parents are here, so like my mom's just buying all this junk food for the kids.
Dude, we've been sitting in the jungle for a week straight, just cooking all our meals. And just surfing, and he's been, you know, doing his thing, and I've been trying to get a little work done and actually watch some Netflix. I downloaded that season, The Patriot. Have you seen that?
No.
I'd watched the first season, and now there's a second season, but I had to watch the first one again because it had been a while. And then I never got to the second season, so I still haven't seen it yet. No. I've seen the first season twice. But it's actually like, man, I don't watch any TV. Like here at home, like Tamarindo, like I'm either working or I'm surfing or I'm chilling with the family, hanging with you, having a couple beers, like usually surfing or, you know, doing this. And then, man, I fall asleep trying to watch TV, you know, and then I go on a trip where you're like in the middle of the jungle, middle of nowhere, you know, all of a sudden I get up at like 4 a.m., 4:30, have your coffee early, watch the sunrise. You know, like the waves are like breaking all day, but you can't surf all day, so you have to time it. So, you know, all of a sudden there's time. You know, your phone it's and the internet doesn't work, so nobody can like text you meaningless shit. You just like,
I mean, time is an expensive commodity, and I'm not talking about money value. I'm talking about like how you can just time manage, and so like you can find these moments in your day. So like, you know, if something does get removed, like a good internet, you suddenly have this moment where you're not being contacted by somebody, or you haven't. Totally. You're like, I can't do that. You know, I can, you know, write something up and, you know, an email up offline and then like, you know, send it on later. But it, like, it's amazing how much time you can actually find during your day if you really want to do something. You know, we always make time to go surf. We always manage to find time to go
for
surf. Hell,
for sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the main priority.
Yeah. I like literally had to hike down the coast to get a signal on the phone and I just wasn't even doing it. I'm like, oh, whatever. You know, like.
And it's like, talking about that, like, I'm now cutting my, like, I got up at 5 o'clock this morning and I was out in the water by about 5:20.
I know, I told you to text me to go surf. And
oh, did, you, not, did you
last night? Yeah, I sent you a message and I came back. I asked if you want to get a beer.
All right, I'm not gonna contest that. I don't know. Right. I didn't see that.
You really I thought you blew me off this whole time.
You wish.
It's probably better. I just driven for like hours, and I just wanted to have a couple beers. And
I was in. I'd say my folks are here right now, so I was arranging dinner and what to do and whatnot. You know what to get. But I got up early this morning and I surfed right out front with Ricardo. He was banging on the left, and I was taking these rights that were coming in.
Yeah,
and I was only out there maybe about an hour and hour and a half maybe, and the conditions start to change a little bit, and I start to think, you know what, this would be really good. If my son's up, he's really going to want to surf because he's really kind of like motivated to get in the water again now. And so I ran back to the house, grabbed a coffee, and he was just waking up. And so I said, you know, do you want to go? And he's like, yeah, for sure. And we must probably surf for about another hour with him. And it's so rewarding, you know. And so like I'm happy to take time out of my surfing for me to try and share this with my son, because it's been so awesome, like hearing you and Happy going on trips and stuff like that. Yeah. My son's a little younger, so he's not quite ready.
Well, dude, you know, that was like the first proper surf trip I've ever been on with my kid. You know, Otis, he's not into surfing. That's cool. Ruby totally wants to surf. She's only 3. You know, Happy's at that age. He's old enough. We're homeschooling him. It's flexible. And yeah, dude, I mean,
yeah, my only hope with my kids is that they love and enjoy and respect the ocean, if you know what I mean, because they're going to have to, because like I, you know, me and my wife, we upturned our entire lives and lifestyle so that we could do this. Yeah, so we could do this.
Well, dude, Happy didn't surf for years. We were living above the bar at Witches Rock Surf Camp, right above Joe's, for their whole growing up. Up until whatever, until Happy was, I guess, 8 and Otis was 10, right when Ruby was getting ready to be born 3.5 years ago. And so I had them out there every day when they were little kids, all the way growing up. And I had them on a surfboard really young, both of them. And I was like pumped, dude, and get my kids to surf. And then I think like maybe they were just, they got so exposed to it, it wasn't special anymore. And they both were like, we don't want to do it. It's just totally like, oh man, what a, you know, like, I don't want to like force them.
No, so. But like, I mean, the thing is, it's like, it's often like, either goes one way or the other. Like with parents, either you kind of like really get into what they do and then you can, or they just do it completely, something completely different. Like, you know, my parents don't even go in the water.
Oh, well, neither do mine. Well, I know there's a million different scenarios for kids in surfing, and that's what this episode's about. I know that, you know, I've got multiple kids, and so, you know, whether they're all going to surf or not, who knows? And I know there's a lot of different styles to how you can sort of parent your kids and try to groom them into surfing. So I started my kids with boogie boards. You did too. You know, you get them out on a boogie board, just let them play, right? Happy, he got into surfing when he was 4 or 5. By 5 or 6, he was surfing like a proper shortboard, you know, hard board, hard fins. He did like a couple little contests here in Tamarindo. And then, I'm not sure exactly, like, I can pontificate, but then all of a sudden he just wasn't into it when he was 7. And then now 4 years later, all of a sudden he's into it again. I don't know what happened. I like it basically for 4 years, I tried to get him to surf and he wouldn't. And I finally gave up like 6 months ago. And then now he wants to surf. I swear to God. And I just think that maybe it's because I just tried too hard to be like, dude, let's go surf. And then as soon as I gave up, I'm like, I literally gave up. I'm like, you know what? I'm just like going to be this surfer that like I've dedicated my whole life to surfing. I love surfing. And then maybe I surf so much. I'm so into it. I burn my whole family out of it.
Well, yeah, no, like I say, we go, me and my wife surfs as well. So we, you know, if it's Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning, we generally wake the kids up. We go somewhere and we surf and we take turns. And so obviously if we can all go and enjoy the beach, you know, and I say my daughter's now 9 and she can get up on a board and she can ride, you know, along a wave, but she's got literally no interest in it. And she's now at the point where she doesn't want to go to the beach. Cause yeah. It's like, you know, here in sort of like, you know,
if you never go to it, you're like, it's special.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go all the time. You know, you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. That's how my kids got.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's absolutely fine. But my daughter always wants to go in the ocean and play. And I think for me, personally, it is about play. Kids like to play. As soon as things get serious or awkward, they lose interest. Or if they feel there's any pressure, then I find that children will start to not want to perform or not want to go and do something. They feel there's any pressure whatsoever. You've got some of these, and again, it's different for everybody. It's these kids that are very competitive and really, really want to compete or want to get better and want to like do something. But if they're not enjoying it, forget about it. That's why it is always a little easier to get, I feel like, the kids surfing in tropical waters than it is obviously back where it's colder, because, you know as anything as a parent, as a kid starts to get cold or hungry, then the shit just hits the fan because they're just not interested. I want to go home. I've had enough.
That's why this is a great place to get.
Yeah. And it's a great opportunity. And that's why, you know, I had no one to teach me to surf. I just happened to just skate and ski and snowboard and be into that as kind of growing up through school. But then I just happened to meet some guy at like some house party who said he was going surfing the next day. And a couple of us went and did it. And that was it. But I was 20 years old by that point. So like, and I think it's really amazing when
really?
You see...
Really? You didn't start surfing until you were 20?
Yeah. I didn't stand up on a surfboard until I was 20. Like, I remember like first day I went and this guy was like, yeah, there's going to be waves. And I was like, where? Like, at the beach. And I was like, all right, I've got to see this to believe it. And yeah. And I remember cool. I was on a 6'1 feral dive, like a shortboard made for Bali. And the waves were maybe like 1 to 2 foot. It was April. It was freezing cold.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even sit up on the thing. And I was like, you know what? This sucks. Like, this absolutely sucks. So for me now, where I've got, I'm going out with my son and he, you know, again, he just started out on boogie boards in the shore break. And then, you know, going a little further out. We had a really unfortunate accident with him last year, actually. About this time last year, where he got smacked in the face, literally right between his eyes with a 9-foot longboard. Somebody else.
Yeah.
Complete accident. It's just one of those things.
Down at Capitan Suiza.
Yeah. And he had 8 internal stitches and I think 15 externals or something like that. He's got a nasty little scar right in the middle of his eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously that's... It's worrying, but you can't control it. And like, it's literally like, this is the most... It's a complete... like you say, you're filled with so much pride when they're dealing with a situation. Like now he's super aware of other people in the water. You know, and I'm making him paddle out to me. I'm making him go for the waves for himself. You know, you can be like, oh, I can, you know, you want to help them as much as possible. But, you know, you obviously kicked out on that wave with Happy just to make sure he's okay. But he's got to deal with it. He's got
to. Oh, he had to, too.
Yeah, exactly. He's got to remain.
I couldn't do anything besides get there like 20 seconds too late, you know.
And all I want to do is that my kids are just are respectful of the ocean about how much power it has, understand currents, understand how to, you know, you go under or you go over a wave. If you got, you know, you got someone else coming down the line, they know what to do. But say 6 years old, he's tiny, he's got hardly any real strength or power, so I'm still pushing him in, I'm still helping him through waves. And he's got not enough strength to duck dive yet and stuff like that. But the main thing is he's really enjoying himself. Today he caught this left, it was the longest left he'd ever caught, because he literally did this little bottom turn and he tucked up, crouched up, and the board went into perfect trim and he just shot down the line, completely locked in, and he came back and he was so happy. And literally the joy that you got watching
is better than the waves you catch yourself.
Oh yeah, I had a way better time with him than I did. You know, I had a good time surfing. It's always a good time.
Yeah, I always like felt when Happy was little and I'd push him into waves. It was like having one of those RC surfers, remote control. Like you know, you push in there and you watch it catch the wave.
It's
like
far him down the line.
Totally, dude. I push him into some waves too, and then man, like the other day, like I caught a wave and then I looked out and I watched him paddle into a set wave and catch it on his own. And catch the wave and go down the line. And I'm just like, that was like way cooler than the wave I had simply watching my kid do that.
Yeah, it's a real blessing, a real honor to like, go on this journey with them, you know?
Yeah. You end up like my whole trip this last week, like I got like different waves than I would have gotten if like you and I went, but it was so much more meaningful only in the fact that, well, we surf together all the time, so don't take this the wrong way, but watching...
No. I mean, but
so much more meaningful with watching Happy, like, deal with, like, some bigger conditions, like, conquer some fears, catch some, like, great waves, like, be exposed to and get comfortable with some more challenging conditions. And, dude, I mean, it was, like, not that long ago he wasn't even surfing, so... I mean, he may just quit. Like next month, like who knows? So like, if I'm enjoying it for what it is, I think that's what you gotta do with when you're a parent and you surf and you want your kids to surf. It's like, if they're into it, great, enjoy it. And if they're not into it, great, enjoy it. You know, like get them around water however you can. If it's the pool, if it's the beach, if it's the lake, right? Like,
well, I think it's just important to keep your kids active these days with, like, you know, all the video games, tablets and devices and stuff like that. You know, it's very easy for them to get sucked into that kind of digital world, if you know what I mean. And this really helps to keep them connected with nature. You know, just trying to get your kids to go on a walk. Yeah. Like, I try to get my kids to go on this walk to go see this waterfall. And, like, it was, like, you know, it was a good long hour walk for them. You know what I mean? You know, it wasn't as though it was, like, too much of a distance. But they whined the entire way. They complained the entire way. But then when they got to the waterfall, they're, like, so excited and want to sit. And it's, like, look, you know, this is what it is. And so, like, you have to do the same with surfing. Like, it's going to be difficult because you're not going to get it, like, straight away. You know, my son, like, after he got the wave, longest wave he's ever had, he then fell on the fins. And then he was like, you know, obviously had a bit of a cry and like, you know, got a bit nervous. But I was like, no, we'll get one more because he wanted to go. And I was like, no, we'll get one more. Get back on the horse type of thing. But I think you got to get that fine balance between pushing them because you have to like make them go sometimes.
No, you're just, right.
They'll go for the easy option.
We didn't talk about it a couple weeks ago, but when Frank Lemus was here and we were surfing with him and his kid, Cruz, who's doing really well, 9 years old. But he had like, kind of like obviously a different style. It's like, no, we're going. He made him do like 2 sessions a day. The kid was paddling a ton. I'm surprised he was even staying awake at the dinner table, dude. He was, but I mean, they were on a surf trip and they were here to surf. And so I actually took some of that with me when I went down to on this trip, because like all of a sudden, like the first day, Happy's like, man, I don't want to surf. I want to just like chill. I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, get,
we're
exactly
here. We're going.
You have to make it enjoyable and fun, but they also like it. You always have to, like with anything, you have to make sure that what you put in is what you get out. So if you only, if you're like, ah, oh, yeah, you know, and you don't put anything into surfing,
it's then true you're not going to get any,
what?
It's true with all of us. It's true
with
everyone.
No, absolutely it is. The more you go, the more you do something, the better you get at it. But like, for me personally, the easiest way that I've found to get my kids like interacting with surfing is making it fun. Because I'll grab one of those Nalus that we have, those big 10... oh, things that I use for a stand-up paddleboard, and I'll get 5 kids on one of them and we'll just take like some waves, soft waves, and they just have so much fun. And that is the memories that I want them to have as when they're growing up, is like, oh, you remember we used to get that board and we used to get on and we used to have like so much fun. And you know, as long as it's just keeping it magical and keeping it fun, because that's, I think that's what it is.
We go body surfing a lot. And that's like, you know, it's like it's fun in its own, and it's a gateway.
Yeah, you don't want to be an overbearing parent to get them to do something they don't want to do, because that's just impossible. But also then, you know, we have some guys here that you know, go surf with their kids, and you know, want them to like compete, and they push them and push them and push them, and you know, these kids surf super well.
Yeah, we've got neighbors in this town that
Malachi Martinez, you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure like his dad, like, used to push him to get into, like, to get up and, you know, now the kid's blown up in Hawaii, like, in barrel at 15-foot pipe and stuff like that. You know what I mean? There's the fruits of your labor right there.
Yeah. I think there's a million different parenting approaches when it comes to everything. Obviously, there's a million ways that you can do it. And so I don't think either one of us necessarily have that advice or this is how it should be done.
And I think people are going to ask questions like, you know, how old do children, you know, how old do kids need to be to surf, if you know what I mean? And it's kind of, surfing is many forms, if you know what I mean, like, say, body surfing and boogie boards. And, you know, surfing is the act of riding a wave, whatever you're doing. So, you know.
Well, look, we don't give a lot of plugs to Witches Rock Surf Camp on the show. We do that on purpose because this is a show about surfing. It is brought to you by Witches Rock Surf Camp, but we just give it a little plug at the very end of the show. This episode, a little bit different in that we want to make sure you know about Kids Surf Free in August at Witches Rock Surf Camp every year. It's coming up next month. So if you've been thinking about getting your kids into surfing, whether it's this August, next August, or I guess any time of year, because you can always bring your kids to Witches Rock. So if you've been like trying to figure out how to get your kids into surf, or you want to do it in a warm place, you want to do it in a professional environment where
your kids might be motivated if they're actually taught by somebody else, you know, it becomes exactly. special. You know, we've got our instructors here who've got lots and lots of experience with teaching young surfers and children how to get up and enjoy themselves. And, you know, I've found, personally being instructed down at Witches, they're a lot of fun, you know, and we can literally can cater it. You know, the kids don't have to stay in the water for 2 hours. We understand that's a lot for someone of that age. So, but, you know, to make it fun and make it a special experience for you and your family, and then hopefully, like, your children will carry on that stoke yeah. from this experience and then want to go surf with their fathers or their mothers when they get back home.
And Witches Rock is such a great an easy place to get to have a great surfing vacation. So it could become a family tradition. We've got a lot of families that come back every year.
Yeah, because we're right on the beach. So literally where you wake up, go downstairs, have breakfast, and where you go have your lessons, it's really not that far. You know, the kids haven't got to like go to this big ordeal, travel far at all. It's literally right there on the beach.
Yeah, you get to Liberia, Costa Rica. It's an hour shuttle drive, and we got the brand new Sprinter vans, tons of room, super chill. You got your room on the beach. And let's talk about the waves. Honestly, like, have you seen a better learning to surf beach anywhere? Like, do you know what, like, where would be better? Where would be a better beach to actually take your kids and teach them to surf than Tamarindo?
As you can see by the silence, that's a long while to think.
I mean, La Jolla Shores in San Diego is a pretty solid learn to surf beach at the southern end because the waves basically get more and more sheltered, so they get smaller and easier, but it's colder water. It's colder water and way more expensive.
It's Fistral Beach in Newquay in Cornwall is really good to learn to surf. But again, it's cold. It's inaccessible for a certain amount of months of the year because of the temperatures and stuff like that. And it does get busy.
Yeah.
But
I mean, like, even like Nosara. Like, Nosara, like, has, I would say, more consistent surf than the Bay of Tamarindo. But it's actually like a lot of whitewash and a lot of like of movement, and it's not so ideal for learning how to surf. It really isn't.
You know? Well, we've got multiple peaks and different parts of the in here in Tamarindo, and you know, I take my kids in between sort of right in front of the Witches Rock Surf Camp. And then the next step up point would be like maybe Pico or somewhere like that, where, you know, you get a little bit of a left and a right and it gets a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is an ideal spot. You know, say,
if the swell gets big, you can always go down in the corner there.
Yeah, we've got plenty of options, especially for the younger ones. And, you know, during that lesson, you know, they'll ride some waves. If their focus gets a little bit, our instructors are great at sandcastles as well. So, you know, the whole idea is just to make this a fun, you know, a fun trip and a fun experience with your family and for the kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, remember, check out the website and, you know, you can call us up, call the reservation team and ask more questions and stuff like that. And, but yeah, August is a great time of year to come down.
Yeah. You can call 1-888-318-SURF, which is 7873. 1-888-318-7873, 7 days a week from morning till night. You'll actually get a real human being, a surfer, that'll answer the phone. And you know what? Like, are there like travel agencies anymore? Do you even call places to book a trip? Or it's all on the internet. Are we the only ones?
No, I mean, I don't think we're the only ones.
It's definitely the minority, though, right? Like, who has an 800 number with, like, you know, reservationists that help arrange, like, everything for you? You know, answer all your questions. Not even about, like, the surf camp, but Tamarindo or Costa Rica or travel or what to pack or, you know, where to find the best flights or, you know, like, who does that anymore?
Again, the silence is... No, but like at the end of the day, we are, like, say, we have kids, you know, we've got, you know, everyone who works in our reservations office surfs. Sean has got children that surf. Ryan, you know, he's got two young boys that are going to be coming up to surf, two twins. But so, you know, we have a lot of experience in this area of surfing and surfing with kids and for your vacation here down in Costa Rica.
Yeah. So whether you make it for the August month, or any other month, it's a great spot. But even if you can't make it here to Costa Rica, get your kids out to the water. Even if it's not the ocean, get them to the lake. Summertime right now. Get them to the water park. Get them swimming lessons if they are not so confident. Junior lifeguard courses are great. And then plan that trip, I guess. Plan that trip to the closest waves you can get to. And pray to God that they want to surf.
Yeah, and I find out that my whole family is goofy and I'm regular, so it makes me so happy. So they can just leave my rights alone and they can just go and play on the lefts.
Is that true?
Yeah, everyone's goofy.
That just means that your family surf trips are going to be to left point breaks and not right point breaks, Nikki.
Again, silence. So like that's not going to happen because...
At least you'd be going on a surf trip with your family.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm super stoked. Me and my wife, we're now excited because I think... you know, Aussies, he's ready to get to somewhere like Casitas where on a smaller day we can paddle out the back with him a little bit more.
That's great.
And, you know, I'm thinking about that little left, it's a little bit more north of the, towards Grande. And yeah, it's really exciting to think about, like, okay, you know, just the amount of joy that I get, or, you know, we can see what we have for surfing and just being able to share that. You know, this is what this podcast is about, sharing the stoke. Get out and surf. So, like, we want to get out and surf with our kids too.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. In fact, I'm going to go make a breakfast burger right now, and then I'm going to go surf before the ping pong tournament at the brewery tonight.
Yep. Well, I will be seeing you up at the ping pong tournament. I don't think, because I ain't got much chance, to be honest, because I think I was a, what did you call it, remember when we played up there and I didn't even score a point?
Oh, you got skunked.
Yeah, I got skunked. So like my name is the only one on the board. I know Oscar, our brewmaster, he's gonna be up there because he can play.
I gotta go throw my hat in the ring for sure.
Oh right, well I got some paddles right here. I got some extra paddles.
Oh, I don't need any practice. I'm just gonna show up and blow
up.
Oh,
listen to that.
Oh dude, come on, it's like stretching. Give me a break. Just go out there and just whack the shit out of the lip already. I'm kidding. I do stretch.
Just not for ping pong.
Just, I should probably stretch more for ping pong. I don't know.
Bloody table tennis.
Dude, I have this rad video. I don't know how long you can post videos on Instagram or even send them on WhatsApp. It's like 2 minutes long, and I'm just chilling in the hammock and just watching this entire troop of spider monkeys jumping from one tree to the next, and they're just flying through the air, dude. I'm going to have to post it somewhere.
There was spider monkeys up in Rincon de la Vieja when I was there. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, I think they might even have white-faced monkeys up there, too.
Yeah, there was, too, yeah. We were sitting in the hot springs, and they were right there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I actually didn't know that they came down that far. Yeah, probably.
It's like 2 hours away from Tamarindo. It's unreal.
I want to go down to Kuru, that biological reserve at the tip of the Nicoya Peninsula. That's where we got to go next. But, like,
yeah,
I
no,
was even thinking about...
Make your breakfast burger and then let's get it on.
Yeah, dude, we'll talk later. Okay. See you around, Nikki.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to the Get Out and Surf podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Witches Rock Surf Camp, located beachfront in Tamarindo, Costa Rica. If you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to the show. You can do that on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. And if you like the show, give us a review on iTunes. That would be great. That's it. We'll see you next week, same place, same time, with another episode of Get Out and Surf. Pura vida y nos vemos!